Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox, my pronouns are he and him. I will be GMing tonight's game of Last Fleet, and I have some other role players with me, and they are...
My name's Becky Anderson, I'll be playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, that's also known as Hellcat, the Ares playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
I'm Ed Tomlinson, and I'll be playing the extremely innocent and slightly pitiful Dr. Tobias Roy this session, who is the Scorpio playbook, and our pronouns are he and him.
I'm Nick Bate. I'm playing Sam Buckley, captain of the Hecate. That's the Taurus playbook. He, him pronouns all around.
And I am Sue Elliott. I'm playing Sonia Vega, the Gemini playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
Boom. And we're playing Last Fleet. I already said that, saying it again.
I'm glad you didn't say Angel of Vengeance, Sonia Vega. So that's reassuring.
Don't get too comfortable, I would say, to that. Okay. So what do we feel like? I feel like I most want to know what's going on the bridge right now, probably.
Well, I chatted a little bit with Sue and with Becky.
Uh-huh.
And Becky and I thought we should just say this out loud. I think we both feel, Becky and I, like the finale juice is with Sue and is with Roy and Vega.
Yeah.
I'm glad you included me in that conversation. I disagree.
I mean, we've had a moment of Buckley's self-sacrifice and all of the dramatic fallout from that.
Yeah.
And so doing that again doesn't... I feel like we've done that, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
That's my and feeling also.
I think it's very possible for Loris and Sam to find themselves a very satisfying concluding moment in amongst the action. For better or for, you know, it might be a bad moment, I don't know, but...
Yeah, it's a moment that finishes their trajectory together.
Yep.
Right, so is that a vote for seeing what's happening with Roy and Vega at this moment?
Or do you want to do yours as a run-up into our scene?
Yeah, I'm curious to know, like, how things are going to go down on the bridge, I think.
Have you thought about taking anything that might make you feel relaxed and calm at this point? So just to lead you into the scene.
Happy to go to the bridge, but I will flag up that I don't see that the bridge solves any of our problems at the moment.
No, it's just I want to know whether you get shot or any shit like that, you know?
Sure. Yeah, me too.
Well, do you know what? Actually, maybe I do want to go to Dr. Roy and Vega because I feel like there's a multi-part structure to what you're going to do. And therefore, I want to have you at the beginning and then you can potentially be at the end as well. So, yeah, I do want to... Let's find out. I want to know what's going on. We've just heard the gun go off. Dr. Roy, I think, ran over and used the radio to call the bridge.
Let's not forget that. Okay, so that's important. I've saved the ship.
That's one point in the other box. Yeah.
What happens next?
Well, shall I say what I'm going to do, Sonia, and then you can tell me what you do? Because
I want to apologise for throwing you both under the bus here.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
I see you, Nick. I see you.
Yeah, just kick back. He had about 3 sessions off halfway through as well.
He's not going to survive this session because Vega's going to shotgun him in the face for that.
Okay, well, Sonia is pointing the gun at you, Doc. Whenever you choose to turn round from the comm system, there is the barrel of a gun pointing.
So let's just slow-mo this situation. So I was strangling the guy. You wrestle. There's a gunshot, isn't there?
Yes.
That sort of classic mysterious gunshot situation.
Time freezes. We're both wide-eyed.
I rush to the comms. Da 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 da. I briefly glance round and then start to go and do something and then it registers what's happening. And I then slowly turn round to face Vega and I raise my hands up slowly with a kind of quizzical look on my face, and I say, are we going to get out of here?
I don't think I'm going anywhere with you, you fucking snake. This is your doing, isn't it?
I don't know what you mean.
Doctor, now is not the time for any more of this doublespeak that we've both been doing for God knows how long. You're responsible for this. I heard you talking to the Marines. You are responsible for this.
I think you, if you recollect the conversation, the Marine was speaking to me. I was merely trying to comprehend the gravity of the situation.
Sonia pulls back the trigger on the gun.
Okay. He says, listen. This is complicated. We've talked before about my complex hybrid situation. It means that I don't know when I'm doing things. I'm not in control of everything here. And I am a danger to the fleet.
Right, so I should just shoot you dead right now then, by the sounds of it.
Well, if you want to see the whole fleet destroyed, then yes, go ahead. If you want to find a way out of this, then I may be your answer. Reach out.
Oh, really? I thought one of you was calling the other on their ship, but I couldn't work out which.
I'm definitely trying to reach out here, but it depends on whether you're open to that suggestion or there needs to be more work to be done on that front. It's fine. I completely understand that.
And so let's just rehearse what reaching out actually involves. Because I think this is a surprisingly aggressive reaching out.
I'm saying you can kill me if you want, but I am potentially the only person that can save the fleet.
Yeah, exactly. And that sounds a lot like an attempt to persuade somebody to not do something stupid. It doesn't sound like an attempt to communicate your doubts, fears, hopes or dreams, failures or regrets or feelings with someone who matters to you. Those are the triggers, yeah? So you, if you want to reach out, you have to share something about your inner life with somebody who matters to you. Otherwise, it's not reaching out. So Dr. Roy is very welcome to attempt to reach out, but you must share something about your inner self in order to trigger that. You could call someone on their shit and reach out.
But is not the hybrid not knowing what I'm doing, having duality, not that then?
Well, tell me which of these, is that a doubt or fear? Is it a failure or regret? I wasn't hearing a lot of failure or regret or doubt or fear in that. I was hearing, please understand why I'm doing what I'm doing so you won't shoot me.
Okay.
Are you calling Dr. Roy on his shit, Vega? Because you certainly sounded like you were. But then again, what do I know?
I think at the moment I just want to get into the scene a little bit more, yeah, and avoid dice rolls if possible.
Yeah, you have got a breaking point action as well.
I've got a breaking point action.
There could be no reasoning here, right? So that's, I'm attempting
that's absolutely
reason.
Fine. Yeah. Yeah.
So you have a plan, do you, for making all of this okay again?
Well, I have.
And you trust yourself that that's your plan that you're coming up with and not a Korax plan that is being, you know, beamed through you or whatever the hell happens.
Beamed through me. Interesting take on the way the Korax work. But let's not get into that right now. I believe I am doing the right thing now. I believe that I am incapable of sabotage whilst I'm in the presence of non-Korax. That's all I know. I have a plan, and I'm prepared to carry it out.
Well, that's a lot of belief for a scientist, but nevertheless, what is your plan?
The plan is to get onto the Agamemnon and blow the shit out of it.
Well, I can get behind that at least.
Mm. does sound like a Vega plan. Maybe you're rubbing off me after all. Or perhaps Loris.
Well, you'd need a ship for a start.
Well, I mean, maybe my duality is working in our favour. There is actually a shuttle docked on this ship.
So, load the shuttle with explosives, fly it back to the Agamemnon, blow it up as soon as it gets there. Is that the plan?
Well, now you're asking for the plan, which I haven't actually got a plan. You're asking me to outline a plan I don't actually have. No. Okay. I was hoping to use my influence with the commanding officers on the ship to get closer to the bridge and incapacitate it, as they have attempted to incapacitate it, ours.
You know, I just can't stand how you're not taking responsibility for any of this. You nearly killed Sam, and you definitely killed a lot of people on that bridge.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who's to say that I nearly killed Sam? Where's your evidence? You were there in the brig, not me. Could have been you. I looked down at her arm.
Son of a bitch. Sonia gets up off her seat and pushes the gun into, jabs the doctor with the gun. Don't you dare. Don't you dare implicate me in this. I know that I'm clean. And we can prove it as well, can't we? You've got something here that we can test me with.
Sure. You're going to be tested with a device by me. Who's to trust anyone in this place?
You know, you're really not helping your cause, Doctor.
Very well. Let's just do the test.
You do remember that it takes 12 hours.
Yeah, we've got it. We might as well use it. I mean, come on. Maybe it'll come up later.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just absolutely fine by me. I just wanted to remind you so that you didn't kind of go, and we go in there and then we stand there and like...
Yeah, we're going to stand there for 12 hours.
12 hours, so just like...
Sam's got a lot of bullets in that little pistol of his.
You got any sandwiches?
I'll say, I'll certainly test you, but we don't have a lot of time. So either I run the test and you kill me, you run the test and let me go, and do what I'm going to do, or you run the test and you come with me.
I'll take option 3.
Right. I get my giant clicky-clicky mega tissue sample.
I'm imagining this is a stapler, basically.
This might hurt a little. Click.
What does the device look like? And where do you take... Wait, first, where do you take the sample from?
Well, I guess... I was thinking like a kind of insulin jab type of thing that you would do, because that's kind of where you've got extra capacity.
Is that, where is that? Is that your bum?
Just above your hip.
Like,
isn't it?
Above your hip?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the abdomen.
Okay. Cool.
Can I take two? Can I take one in the arm, from the arm as well? And one from the ear and...
You're just going to, yeah, sample me to death.
This is just standard practice. You've got to take them from each of the pressure points on the body.
Yep. Death by 1,000 tests.
And so what does the device look like, Dr. Roy?
Well, have you ever seen a device from Red Dwarf? It's sort of a giant plasticky BBC special effects workshop.
Oh, like the Hollyhock drive?
Well, that's like a big box, isn't it?
I think it might have the word Holly Hop written on it or something like that.
Yeah, it's got Dr. Roy's testing device. Next to it, it's got a tension sheet, obviously. it probably is just a box, right? It's probably like a simple box that contains some Corax. Slide it up, throw the sample in, shut it.
Yeah, cool.
Broadly speaking. And it reacts like there's electrical pulses which detect after a period of time in proximity to it, which indicate either the sample was Corax or it wasn't.
Yeah. after you press the little button that decides which the answer
should
be.
Yeah, and then it's got, like, yeah, I've got buttons that do that sort of where it changes colour, like the LED thing, just for effect.
Yeah, and while it, during the 12 hours, does it make the little noise that the ZX Spectrum used to make when the game was loading?
Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, sure. He loves old school video games. It's a simple box where you slide the tissue sample into it. There is some light indicator, because this is Hollywood, to tell you.
Currently processing. Right. So he's done that. What? Are you going straight to the shuttle? What's your plan here?
Yeah, let's go to the shuttle. Fuck it.
And are you keeping Dr. Roy at gunpoint?
I am, all the time.
And Dr. Roy, I'm gathering you're planning to bring some explosives with you.
Yes, I do just so happen to be able to pull out some explosives, which is circumstantial evidence.
Well, I think, hadn't you better pull strings to get the explosives? I don't think you can necessarily, sure, it's not the kind of thing that you can just pull out your ass.
Well, I thought I'd have some left over.
Yeah, yeah, you might do, I suppose.
That's what I was saying.
So insensitive.
I mean, I'm not getting them out in front of Sam, am I? So that would be insensitive.
Yeah, but I'm right here.
Yeah, you've got to separate the player from the character. Like, we've spoken to Becky earlier on about that.
You know, maybe it does make sense that you've got some explosives. I do think there's a certain amount of...
Well, it's how many, I suppose, or what I've got. I mean, if you want to sort of roll to see,
I think,
whether there's enough, or
I don't. Well, it depends what you're going to use it for. I'm not giving you enough explosives that you can, like, blow up the whole of Agamemnon or something. It's enough explosives for a relatively controlled blast that will require you to get up close. Otherwise, it's going to require some rolling.
Yeah, I'm thinking an equivalent blast from the bridge on the
Hector. However, Agamemnon type of thing. I am going to say, I think you have to mark pressure to do this, because I think it involves kind of breaking the fourth wall with your alt ego a little bit and knowing something that you shouldn't really know, because you are not the one who knows about the explosives.
Yeah, that's fine. I was trying to work out, I still haven't worked out what I do and don't know. Everyone thinks I know everything, but I don't know anything.
But I think up until now, Dr. Roy has been the character who doesn't know about any explosives. So for you to go and get those explosives involves a certain amount of cognitive dissonance, and I'm going to express that through making you mark a point of pressure.
Okay, well, I'm at breaking point then. So we're all having a breaking point party.
Maybe you should have reached out earlier.
I was trying. I'm just too emotionally stunted.
Well, I've got to give you more practice of this stuff. Just so you know, literally all you had to say was something like, and it makes me feel sad. And I would have been like, bingo.
I don't know whether anything makes Dr. Roy feel sad. That's the problem when you're an emotive. A non-emotive person.
Or even just, you can't imagine what it's like to be me. Anyway, too late now. You've hit breaking point. So,
yeah,
lol.
I'll have a look.
Cool. Okay. I think we may call the scene there then, as you head out towards the shuttle.
I'm just wondering what Vega's reaction to me pulling a side panel out and producing a load of explosives would be. Or are you sort of accepted that I have this duality situation going on? And
yeah, I mean, I feel like one of the advantages of breaking point is that you just accept any bonkers thing that's happening at that point. You just use it as fuel for whatever horrible thing you're about to do.
I mean, one of my breaking point actions is openly revealing that you think you may be working for the enemy. I've kind of done that already.
You've kind of just done that.
Tick.
Yeah.
Done. Zero pressure.
You did it in the wrong order, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Do I have to do something first?
Sorry, you gotta get your ordering right, mate.
Okay, I'll say it again in the ship.
Yeah, cool.
Just to reiterate.
By the way, did I mention? You might have forgotten that I said something important earlier on. cool, let's go back to the bridge. I want to know what's going on the bridge. As I recall, we left you, like, you and Alagona and maybe, like, one other person with one of the guns from the arms locker defending the entrance to the bridge against probably quite a significantly larger number of Marines.
Hmm.
And I think we could see, down the corridor, several Marines in, like, firing positions, like, wedged into doorways or what have you. Tell me how you're approaching this situation.
Yeah, so in my head, like, Alagona and I are up against the hatchway into the bridge on either side, facing each other.
Yep.
I think Sam, who we must remember, is still looking pretty much the worst for wear, right? He got out of a hospital bed like 20 minutes ago, I think.
Yep.
I think he might say to Alagona, we've got to stop meeting like this.
Nice. I think Alagona will just shake his head and smile at that.
And then I'll say, did you get a good look? Are they ours?
Yes, sir. Agamemnon Marines.
Agamemnon Marines.
Mm.
Where are yours?
Actually, would he know? Maybe he would. Let me just think about that.
He was in the brig, were they all?
Yeah, he was in the brig. He got let out. He did we don't know what, and then he got pulled up by your watch sergeant.
Yeah.
Presumably, he didn't bring any Marines with him, otherwise he'd have more Marines with you.
Yeah.
So where do you think the Marines go when they're not busy fighting a...
I mean, I'm sure they've got a barracks.
Do you think they just hang around playing cards?
I mean, I'm in the middle of a combat situation. I'm like, this is a, you know, this is a live situation. So completely aside from the boarding party, I assume that they would probably be prepared to repel boarders.
They'd be ready either to repel boarders or to get on a ship and head out to do something.
So maybe that's it. Maybe they're near the hangar or down in the hangar.
I mean, that's what makes sense to me. They would be down near the hangar, suited up. And to be honest, I imagine the moment this situation kicked off, Alagona would have hit the radio and said, we've got action up at the bridge. But it will take a time for them to get there. So
yeah, and there's a lot of them and not so many of us. How the hell did they get on board?
Frack if I know, Captain. I don't know where they came from. I presume you're having this conversation in between kind of popping out and taking pot shots, right?
Yeah. I assume so, yes. Yeah, trying to keep them from coming down the corridor.
Pew, pew. Like that.
Woo!
Yeah, way more dramatic than that, I think.
That's how Dr. Roy would shoot guns.
They weren't on board before all this happened, were they?
No, sir. And then he pauses and said, well, truthfully, I don't know. I was in the brig until a short while ago. I haven't really had the time to properly get myself up to speed.
Yeah, Sam did actually know that, so he'll say, of course, I wasn't thinking. And then I'll say to the bridge crew, does anyone know if we had Agamemnon Marines on board?
I guess we'll have the other person with the gun be... probably it ought to be that assistant guy.
Morgan Kinnard.
Kinnard, that's right. Yeah, Kinnard. I think Kinnard, who is like, he's behind one of the instrument panels.
Yeah.
Kind of semi-laying covering fire for the two of you and semi not really helping that much. He says, no, sir, after the incident with the Agamemnon going quiet, we would have rounded up anyone from the Agamemnon right away. I think there may have been a couple of personnel, but no Marines on board, sir.
Thank you, Kinnard. Then they must have boarded while all this was going on. And so Sam's thinking the logical conclusion is that Barkman was, I mean, I was already suspicious, but she was just stalling for time while her shuttle somehow made it across here.
Kinnard's a comms officer, I think, or he's a
supplies.
See, yeah. He knows about the kind of ins and outs of the ship, and he said, sir, I don't see how they could have got on board without us seeing them. We would have picked them up on radar. Andreas.
Follow through that thought, Kinnard. What are you saying?
I don't know what I'm saying, sir. That they're here. So either they got on here before all of this happened and they've been waiting, or something's wrong with our sensors.
Sabotage, then. So somebody on board the ship.
Again, jumping to conclusions.
He shrugs.
Jumping to very logical conclusions.
Very big, broad conclusions.
Wait, are you saying that Dr. Roy did this?
So, okay, Sam's going to stand up, and he's going to point at an officer on the bridge who isn't armed, gesture them over, hand the weapon to them so that they can guard the doorway with Alagona, and get Agamemnon on the comms.
Okay, so I'm fine with what you're doing, I think, but I think we're going to need to see some dice roll to see that you've managed to hold them off to this point.
Sure, I think that's
feels
fair.
A bit too much of a civilized conversation at the moment for my liking.
Yep.
There's flak flying everywhere. There's only three of you with guns versus a number of them. So let's, if you got options here, you could engage in battle with them. That's more of a kind of toe-to-toe fight type of situation.
I don't think that's what I'm looking for here. What Sam's thinking here is hold them off, because without help we're not going to be able to beat them. So keep them away from the bridge long enough for me to get a call through to the Agamemnon to at least try to get Buckman to call them off. It probably won't work, but if it doesn't work, then I've got some information and, fingers crossed, some Marines come and save me. It's a long shot. I agree that this is a very risky situation, so I would very much like to make a dice roll. But I think what I'm doing is probably shaking off rather than engaging in battle.
Yep, that was my thought too. Cool.
Yep. Just so happens that my heart is one, so that's nice. I rolled a 9 on the dice, so that's a 10.
Nice. Okay. I mean, to be clear, I think that cannot be a permanent shaking off of them.
No.
Although, perhaps it could be enough that you can close the door if you want to. I don't know whether you want to do that, because that just kind of give them the freedom to move and you know, make moves to launch a fuller assault
by
blowing the door off its hinges or whatever and charging in.
No, I think I'd rather hold them at the moment than close the door. That closing the door is the order I gave straight off the bat, but okay. I have to assume that didn't work for some reason. Gunfire, probably. But this has bought me enough time to get Barkman on the line.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what's the situation must be that you are forcing them to keep their heads down at the moment, and that will last for a time, but there are more of them than there are of you, so it won't last forever.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
But definitely long enough for you to have the conversation, presumably with your head down behind some bit of something or other.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think I'm standing in the open doorway so that there's a clear shot, but I want to look at least somewhat in control. So,
okay. Probably there's somewhere you can sit where you're not in the direct line of fire.
Yeah, standing. I just want to stand somewhere where I'm not in the direct line of fire. It doesn't matter. I'll stand somewhere.
Yeah, cool. Let's go to the comm. I think the Admiral probably answers.
Yeah. Does she still have the fake blood rolling down the side of her head?
She still has blood rolling. It's not rolling. It's like...
No, sure. Right. Yeah. Admiral Barkman, you've got Marines on my ship.
Yes. She confirms.
My understanding was that you were back in control.
Yes, Captain. I'm sorry to give you the runaround like this, but I needed to buy time for my Marines to get into position.
Let's just be crystal clear, Admiral. They're here under your orders, attempting to storm my bridge.
I'm afraid so.
I think Sam just cuts the call. That's... Now I know.
Yeah, now you know.
That we're in the fight of our lives against the Agamemnon and the Admiral.
Having seen that tense moment, let's jump away to... Well, I want to know what's going on with Loris. Loris, I think the last thing we saw from you was that you were holding a transport at bay from entering your ship. But I think that can only have been a temporary thing for a sort of similar reason that, like, you're fundamentally a civilian ship. They just need to get a lock onto your hull and they can start cutting through.
Yeah, wasn't I doing something ill-advised? At the time.
I mean, stands to reason that you were, but remind me what.
Wasn't
what
I trying to use the guns on the Tycon to blow up our engines, our exhaust ports?
Oh, I'd forgotten that you'd had that idea.
I asked if the Tycon had any weaponry on it.
Yeah, I don't think it does. I think the only weapons on board are the ones on board your fighters, the two fighters.
Didn't we have a brief conversation about whether we could get them working again? But I don't think we've got time, do we?
The fighters are still running. They don't have weapons, and they don't have life support. So you would be going out there and doing something not involving the weapons and the fighters.
Well, we had talked about whether there was an engineer on board who could get the weapons going again while I wore an EVA, like a EVA suit, to give me some life support. You know what? This is just overcomplicating things. And much as Loris would much rather be in a ship right now, she doesn't really want to be in a ship with no guns and no life support, because that feels a little bit...
That's one too many.
That's too many, really, but it's certainly one too many. And so she's just going to go and raid the small arms locker and take Minerva and anyone who's got military training down to the ingress point.
All right. I think Minerva looks pretty nervous. I think she's a pretty darn good pilot, but she's you don't know of her ever having to engage in like a shooting match outside of the cockpit.
Does she have any mechanics? Could she stay here and fix the ship while we keep them off?
Maybe she could try, but I think you'd be taking a bit of a long shot there. She's the best person to hold that gun, apart from you, on this ship.
Great. Okay, well, then that's what she's doing. Because I don't have any time to coddle this situation. So I'll throw a sidearm at her and say, we're going down to the ingress point.
She looks, like I say, she looks nervous. She looks scared. But she doesn't say anything to indicate that. She just says, yes, sir. Her voice is shaky. So you head down to the point where you think they're going to board the ship. What's your disposition going to be here? How are you going to play this?
I'm going to shoot anybody who comes through the hull.
Straight and forward, yeah.
I mean, I don't think... I'm like... If I'm not in a ship, I don't have any fancy ideas that are any good. And I don't really have fancy ideas that are any good when I'm in a ship. It's just I'm so good at flying, I can pull them off. My piloting skills, like, cashes a lot of checks there.
Just to elaborate slightly on that, though, are you going down the SAM route of being in cover, trying to hold
people? Oh, fuck yeah.
Off?
Like, I'm not going to stand in the middle of the corridor and start trying to shoot at Marines who are heavily armoured with better weaponry than me. I'm going to, like, get as much weaponry, grenades or whatever, as I can. And, you know, sit behind some bulkheads and just hold them off for as long as I can.
Cool, okay. Let's have a... I'll give you the choice of engage in battle to actually have a chance of whittling their numbers down and
yes,
slowing down their assault. Okay, not the other one.
Engage in battle comes with all. So I don't care what the other one is. Unless
I
it's let loose.
Sam is very considered. It's definitely not engaging battle. It's more like this. You're like, engaging battle.
Engaging battle comes off raw, so...
Didn't even say what the second option was, so it's fine.
Was the second option let loose?
The second option was not let loose.
Well,
I
then,
tell you.
The second option will be worse.
All right. you go for it.
It's not all about winning, you know.
It is mostly, though.
It is when you roll a 10. Sorry, I rolled an 8, but I have a +2 on my roll.
That is pretty good, and that does sound like winning.
Looks like winning from here.
So let's see. On a hit, you can overcome a tough target's defences or destroy a number of weaker targets, hold off a determined assault or drive away a formidable opponent, keep a target safe during the battle, and you don't have to choose anything from the 7 to 9 list. Nice. So I guess your choice is, do you hold off a determined assault, or... destroy a number of weaker targets but without holding them off?
Well, I think we have to hold them off. I mean, that's the whole reason we're down here, is holding them off long enough so that Catan can... he's not going to do anything, but so that he has a chance to get round there and start doing something useful.
All right, here's what's gonna happen. I think you and Minerva, like, lay down a good curtain of fire against these guys. They're there's a kind of classic Star Wars style cutting of the bulkhead, followed by an attempt to come through, and I think you probably get like a couple of them as they overconfidently try and burst through, and then your gunfire is holding them back. But as with, you know, perfect mirror really of what's going on over on Hecate, there's more of them than there are of you, so you can't hold them off forever. However, Catan's voice comes over the radio, because I want to find out what you're going to do with him, if anything. Loris, it's Hurricane. I'm out here with another one of the fighters who also has a name. I'm out here with...
It's Phantom, isn't it?
Brian.
Yeah, it's going to be Phantom, you're right. I'm out here with Phantom. Is there anything we can do to help you? I can see the transport wedged to your rear there.
They've already cut through, but if you give us time to retreat and seal the bulkheads, can you blow them out of the way?
I can. Are you sure you want me to do that? That's a civilian ship. It won't take much firepower to puncture the hull so badly that there'll be nothing left.
Well, then you'll just have to be really accurate, sir, won't you?
Okay, Hellcat.
We're going to tell the captain what we're going to do. Or is it worth abandoning the ship?
I mean, it's an option.
How many people are on this ship?
I think probably quite a lot, because it's a cruise ship, so it's got accommodation.
That's not really an option then, is it?
I mean, it's got life rafts, presumably enough for its standard capacity. And I don't know that they would necessarily have loaded it up well past its standard capacity, because it's not luxurious accommodation or anything, most of it. So, yeah, it's a thing you could do. It would leave all those people exposed.
In what sense?
Because once they've abandoned ship, they can't jump.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I will ask the captain. I'll tell the captain what we're going to do. I will ask the captain to give the order for people to get into life rafts in case the hull gets blown.
Yeah, okay. He looks at you like... He's got this look, this captain, of kind of simultaneously obvious panic and surreal calm. And he just sort of shrugs and says, sure. Life rafts it is. Just give me a second. This is the captain speaking. We have a bit of a situation on board, as you may have picked up. I'm going to need all passengers to move to the life rafts now. Nothing to panic about. We will let you know if there is any action, further action required.
This is just a precaution, Captain. There's no way that I want to end up losing my ship.
He looks at you and says, it's my ship, Lieutenant.
I like the way you've downsized your ambitions there as well, Loris.
You don't understand, Captain. I'm talking about my ship that's in your hangar bay.
Oh. He doesn't know what to say to that, so he doesn't say anything. Okay, cool. So this now is very much a shake them off situation, I think.
Can I not talk Catan how through this?
No. Oh, it's gonna be you rolling to shake them off, I think.
I know, I just don't like shaking off. I'd much rather engage in battle. Or thread the needle. I can't thread the needle, can I?
That's a ship-only move, isn't it?
What if I started piloting this ship?
Yeah. I mean, you can pilot the ship.
Come on. That's the real answer right there.
I pilot this ship.
Yes. To do what, though?
Get it into a better position for Catan to take that shot more safely.
I am going to leave this scene here now with you. Maybe we get like a shot of Loris just sort of looking at the controls of the ship with a kind of pensive look on her face or something. But I need you to come up with an explanation of what we would see on the screen to represent whatever it is that you're doing. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be sealing the bulkhead and blowing up the back of your ship, permanently disabling its ability to fly.
Oh, God. I mean, there are no good options here, right, people? If anyone's got another idea out of character to step in and help me out here, this is not my sweet spot. I just pull triggers. I don't come up with good plans.
Yeah, but Becky's capable of thinking of things.
I'm too deep in character for that on this go-round.
I know, you're just such a good role player that you're going to insist upon banging your head against the brick wall, just like your character would. Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find information about Last Fleet and all the rest of our stuff in the show notes. If you like what we do, then we'd really appreciate it if you shared the podcast on social media or gave us a review, preferably a 5-star one, as that really helps people to find the podcast. See you next time.
Ah, yeah, it was fine. I mean, I felt physically uncomfortable the whole time. But what I can't figure out, though, is if I'm just being a massive sook or if it's actually a thing.
A massive what?
Huh?
A massive what?
Sook.
Sook?
Yeah. Is that not a thing?
What's a sook?
What is a sook? A sook is a complainer, someone who whinges.
The other people on this call have heard the word sook before?
I'm assuming it's an Australian word.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm also assuming that at this point.
I don't recognise it.
I just Googled how I think it's spelt, and apparently in the US it's a female crab.
Yep.
Oh.
So.
Those whinging crabs.
I personally don't think you're whinging. I always found offices deeply, deeply uncomfortable places. And the second I was able to work from home...
They are pretty shit. I don't know why... It pisses me off. It feels like there's no reason for everyone to be in offices other than the fact that some old-fashioned people can't get over the feeling that we all ought to be in offices.
Well, isn't the reality that some old-fashioned people bought a lot of real estate thinking that it was a good investment and now are desperate to get everybody back into offices so they don't lose money on that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't had good work environments modelled by my mum, but my dad worked a job he hated his entire life, and so
really,
you know, yeah, it was a good job. It had good benefits. It paid well. It was reliable, and he hated it.
That's so interesting. So my dad was for a long time. He was a social worker, and I think probably could be described in a very similar way. You know, is it like a tough gig, but you know, an important, fulfilling role that probably didn't pay that badly because I think he got reasonably senior. And but my dad left, and he went off to run his own private therapy.
My mum was a probation officer, and she left to do lots of different things at different times, but never looked back. Same thing, really. You go into it with really good intention, but there is quite... It's difficult, and you don't get the support, I don't think, in that. You know, you really need to be
frustrated.
Yeah, and at that time when she was working, it was just full of lazy white men, basically, with their own offices, being self-important. While she was a single mum, basically.
My family are all teachers. So you can imagine.
I've got a big family of teachers as well. They've all told me how that works out.
Yeah, all my family told me this. So my aunts and uncles were teachers. My cousins are teachers. My parents are both teachers. My sister's a teacher.
So they didn't listen to each other.
No, they didn't listen to each other. I listened. And they said, don't be a teacher. And I was like, fine, I'll go and be a lawyer then. That sounds fine. So that's what I did.
Message received.
Got it. Good. My sister went off and became a teacher. And
yeah, I've got uncles who are teachers.
Teaching sucks. Teaching is just the most depressing career.
Such a shame, isn't it?
So misunderstood, so underpaid. Like all those people who say, oh, we get 6 weeks holiday. If you think I spent the 6 weeks holiday just hanging out with my dad, think again. He spent the 6 weeks holiday marking and doing lesson plans and going back into school and doing displays. And
it's something I could see myself. Like I like the idea of it, and I can definitely see why my family got into it. But I can also see all the admin and crap you have to do.
I think it's just like a romantic vision, isn't there? Like you imagine yourself going into this classroom and having this amazing relationship with these young people who you're going to absolutely,
and, you know,
you're going to bring them on. They're going to come away and they're going to be like, those were the best years of my life. and you're going to feel like this amazing wise person.
But there's a million other factors going on.
I guess
in there,
that's like maybe one hundredth of the job or something.
I loved all the teaching I did, but all the teaching I did was teaching astronomy students. Like it's
committed adults.
Everybody wanted to be there because there's no reason to be there otherwise, you know.
I did go to university and sort of wasn't there a lot of the time. So
yeah, but were you doing astronomy? You weren't taking a physics degree, though, were you?
What did you take?
Software engineering.
What was your degree? Software engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. So you're saying you think that physics graduates... Are we talking about undergraduates or graduates here?
Both.
Because I would say if you're a graduate in any advanced subject,
yeah, of course. Yeah,
you must be there because you think you do. But undergraduate, I mean, there must be loads of slacker undergraduate physicists, surely.
No, because there's not loads of undergraduate physicists, right? Like,
is there not? I'd say 50% of my friends at university were undergrad physicists. And there are a couple of postdocs.
A weird group of friends. By the time I got to...
Yes, the role-playing society, Nick.
Yeah, right. By the time I got to my third year at my uni, there were 30 of us in the cohort. And I think we're the third largest uni in Australia. So, you know, everybody knew everyone. We were all... I mean, some of them worked harder than others, but nobody sticks around for second and third year physics if without a reason, you know? So, you go off and do an arts degree or a commerce degree or something if you just want a qualification.
I suspect, Josh, that you and I probably had a very atypical university experience.
I mean, I never really talked to our physicist friends about the fact they did physics. I wasn't interested in physics at that point in my life. I thought physics was quite boring, which is why I didn't try to do it as a degree. Now I'd be quite interested in doing a physics degree, but back then I thought I'd basically done A-level physics and was like, Jesus Christ, it's the most boring subject.
Really no,
I didn't. That's not even true. I didn't do A-level physics. I did A-level maths, which did have an unpleasant amount of physics in it. It was the GCSE that put me off. How boring. Fucking
A-level chemistry.
Can you calculate the momentum of the...
A-level chemistry with molarity. That was it. I was like, I think I'm done with this subject now. My geochemistry plans are...
No one tells you about the interesting bits of physics when you're doing your GCSEs. They're too busy telling you about angular momentum and what other boring bollocks. I mean, it's just maths.
Physics often is just maths.
Yeah, but you can be doing maths about something interesting. Or you could be doing maths about something that isn't that interesting.
Angular momentum is pretty interesting when you're coming off the road.
Well, they could have made it about that, but it wasn't. It's just about the pendulum, you know? It's like, here's a pendulum.